America, there's a rule against alcoholic beverages. Infraternities on probation.
Say, how about joining me and my friend over there? Come on, join us in a beer, okay?
Get me another beer, Dragon Lady.
It was the greatest beer in all the world.
Just drink the fucking beer, just and you'll get the hang of it.
Listen, they want us to pay for the beer we drink. So you guys better split.
Oh, I thought you'd just buy me a beer.
Hey, you want some help with that beer, kid?
I have respect for the beer.
Save one of those beers for me, eh?
You want some of this milk?
Rather have a beer.
You want a beer, pal?
What are you drinking?
I got this non-alcoholic shit.
What's that?
Like a non-alcoholic beer. It's got no alcohol.
Is it beer?
Yeah, with no alcohol.
Wait, you drink enough and you drink a lot, they get you fucked up?
No, there's no alcohol. That's the fucking point.
Can't imagine ever not enjoying getting fucked up.
Yeah.
I love it. Rather being sober.
Fucking sucks. And just like the movies, we play out our last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey everybody, this is Dustin.
This is Seth.
And we are drunk.
At the movies.
Brought to you by Bearded Owl Brewing in Peoria, Illinois. Well, hey, Seth. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Been a while.
How'd things go?
It went very well. And if you don't know, you can listen for yourself in the archives. He's, of course, referring to last week's episode of Uncle Buck, which I brought back the John Hughes regulars, Groucho and Daryl, and we enjoyed another John Hughes classic and celebrated the comedic stylings of John Candy on the 25th anniversary of his passing. So yeah. This week is not going to be like that. It's going to be a standard Seth and Dustin show. We don't have any guests this time.
But we're transitioning back into the show by watching a movie that also has Amy Madigan and Gabby Hoffman,
it's
who
true.
Were in Uncle Buck.
Yeah, it's a double feature that was not necessarily planned, but it just worked out. Well, it's baseball season, and that is a holiday for me personally, always has been. And with baseball season starting up, I wanted to watch a baseball film. Now, the film we're watching is Field of Dreams, and that is from the year 1989.
Mm-hmm.
It's a baseball movie, but it's not a baseball movie,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
It's a feel-good family baseball film, and you don't need to know anything about baseball or family to enjoy it.
Right. And it's not based on a true story.
Really?
I know, right?
I kind of redo my notes.
There's some factual stuff in it, but yeah, it's a fantasy, folks.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, before we watch the movie, we got a couple things we have to do. First, we got to tell you what we're drinking this week. And this is one that Seth was looking forward to. It's Butta from Another Mother from Bearded Owl. This is a porter, 5.1%. It says peanut butter aroma leads into subtle chocolate, peanut butter, and bready notes that round out this light and drinkable American porter.
Peanut butter cup is pretty much my favorite flavor of anything, so
yeah.
This does not disappoint. This is a delicious beer. If you are prone to migraines, take an Excedrin before you have it, because peanut butter, chocolate, and beer aren't good for migraines, but I'll be damned if I'm not going to drink it.
See, I don't have those issues, so I guess I'm okay. But I feel a little bad for you that you had to prepare it.
Oh, do such. Not feel bad. This is completely worth the preparation.
All right, perfect. Well, that's what we're going to be drinking. So you guys feel free to go down to Bearded Owl and get some for yourself. If not, just, you know, drink along. But you need to find your copy of Field of Dreams, and we will let you know when to hit play. But we have an opening title song for you. And this is from a band. I don't think they're actually a band anymore. I think they recently broke up. Hailing from Nashville, they're called Diarrhea Planet. I'm not making it up. That's
so. Is this the connection? The baseball song when you're sliding into first?
Yeah,
and you think
exactly.
You're gonna burst diarrhea.
Well, the name of the song is Field of Dreams. So
well, there's that too. There's a good
that
connection.
Too. But yeah. The gravitational pull of Diarrhea Planet is strong. Once you get caught in the orbit of its stadium-sized riffs and blistering solos, it's hard to escape. The Nashville six-piece has been melting faces since its debut 7-inch, which first started making waves outside the leafy campus of Belmont University, where the members first met. What started as a dorm room dick joke between two friends bored by the music business, ladder climbing of their classmates, has grown into one of the biggest and loudest rock acts to come out of the Nashville scene. So that is who is going to be kicking off our Field of Dreams episode. So here we go. It's Diarrhea Planet here on Drunk at the Movies. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready for the movie.
We got our beers. We got it queued up.
Got my big league chew.
I got my St. Louis Cardinals Cooperstown collection pint glass. I got a Rush baseball jersey on.
I was going to comment on that. I like it.
And yeah, we're ready to go. So hit play in 3, 2, 1.
I just finished Arrested Development's final season last night. And the final episode, and there, this is not a spoiler, but there is a very small Field of Dreams reference, really? An obvious Field of Dreams reference, but...
If you build the banana stand...
Something like that.
He will come.
It was more of one of those things that Tobias said. It was some kind of Tobias pun involved, I believe.
He probably blew himself again.
Yes, I think he blew it and it came or something, I don't know.
Yeah, that is a tasty peanut butter porter right there. All right, so this movie came out in 1989, filmed in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I have been to the location that this was filmed at. It's in a small town called Dyersville, Iowa, probably 3 hours from the Peoria area where we hail from.
I believe it's kind of northeast Iowa, is that correct? Yeah. Kind of, because it's not far from Galena, Illinois.
Correct, which is one of the other filming locations.
Yes, true.
Which, that's like midway through the movie. We'll get a little more in-depth on that. But yeah, the farm itself and the field are in Dyersville, and there's not a whole lot out there. It's farm country.
It's a field.
And they still have it open, free of charge. You can go and play catch on it. I was in that area last year. We didn't stop.
But maybe someday.
Yeah, Brianna, well, I went there in fourth grade, I think, fourth or fifth grade.
But I mean, like, for the family, if you and Brianna you guys can all have a good time and get some souvenirs, because isn't that pretty much how they make money off it, is a gift shop?
Pretty much. I bought a t-shirt and a hat when I was there in fourth grade, played catch in the outfield with my dad, ran through the corn. I've got a little thing of dirt from the outfield, too, that I kept for many years. Frank Whaley
from Brett from Pulp Fiction.
Also, Boy from Little Monsters.
Yes.
Another movie we've done on this show.
Also in The Doors. Can't remember if he was the drummer or the
Robbie Krieger.
Yeah, he was Robbie Krieger, you're right.
And the fact that I know that and I hate The Doors.
You're not a Doors fan?
Oh, I hate The Doors. You know what, they have like a couple songs that I can tolerate. The rest of them,
You've never driven a car out to the country and torched it? And listen for the Doors sound like Bruce McCullough recommends?
No, I'm not a fan. They're my one band, you know, like everybody has that one band. It's like everybody loves, but you just don't get.
Yeah.
The Doors is that for me.
I got to admit, for me, it's just Jack White in general.
Okay.
Sorry, Jack White, if you're a fan. It's not personal, I promise.
Now, this is based on a book called Shoeless Joe by W.P. Kinsella, which I have read. And they do a pretty good adaptation of it.
That's what I had heard, was that from a book to movie, it's not too bad. This is kind of a little bit ahead of its time, like a year or two, having open with narration told through old photographs.
Yeah.
And, I think they even started on a black slate for a second, like they did in the formula for every Sundance success in the 90s.
This is Kevin Costner's voice. He's our narrator and main character.
He played in the minors for a year or two.
Talking about his dad.
Moved to Brooklyn in 35.
They did a 25-year reunion where Kevin Costner, the guy who played his dad,
Dwyer Brown.
Yeah, and I think the director all got together at the field in Dyersville and just hung out and did interviews and talked to fans.
Stories of Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and the great Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Ray Liotta.
Dad was a Yankees fan.
Looking confused. So of course I rooted for Brooklyn. Oh, that's photoshopped.
So we had to find other things to fight about. We did. And when it came time to go to college,
I'm guessing that's actually his, one from home I high school senior photo.
Yeah, I always assume they are.
Right up the wall, which I suppose
he went to Berkeley, became a hippie.
Officially, my major was English, but really it was the 60s. I marched, I smoked some grass, I tried to like sitar music.
I like how he uses the past tense. Like Kevin Costner isn't always high.
Yeah.
She came from Iowa, and I had once heard of Iowa.
I think this might be his like second best performance, in my opinion. I think he's actually really good in this.
Untouchables,
Dances with Wolves.
Oh, okay,
I will say, like, no matter.
I knew it wasn't Waterworld.
Oh no, that's. Oh, I forgot about Waterworld. No, it's The Postman. That's my favorite thing he ever did.
We loved her anyway.
He and Tom Petty were just brilliant in that movie.
She could talk me into buying a farm.
Yeah, Kevin Costner, I have always enjoyed his movies, especially anything sports related that he does, which is many.
Yeah, Tin Cup, Bull Durham.
He did Bull Durham before this, and he actually wasn't originally considered for the role because they didn't think he would want to do another baseball
movie. Right, they assumed he just would throw the script away anyway.
Right.
That's a beautiful shot.
Yeah.
There's some great cinematography in this movie.
There's also some great music.
Yeah.
James Horner does. I own the soundtrack on CD, and it's all instrumental, very haunting, ethereal at times.
Yeah. It fits exactly what the theme of the movie is.
Very kind of minimalist. It's not overdone. Oh, and here we go.
And the reason he did it that
the first whispers.
Sorry, I talked over.
Oh, it's fine. He's going to hear it again. He's just out in a field by himself.
He's outstanding in his field.
Twilight.
Now I see why Zack Snyder cast him as John Kent.
Exactly.
for Man of Steel. I mean, this pretty much looks like Smallville, only with a little bit of a different
story. Now, I'm not a big Superman fan, but I liked his casting.
I think it made sense. It really did. I think that, Zack Snyder Superman movies were really rather well cast.
That voice just now, what was it?
He high.
I didn't hear anything.
This was Gabby Hoffman's first movie.
Mm.
So they reunited on Uncle Buck.
Okay. If you I wonder if Amy Madigan suggested her, if she thought, hey, she was a great child actress, I recommend possible. Her.
I guess Gabby Hoffman's mom was like part of the Warhol posse.
Oh. So she had ins.
Yeah. Now, the voice that we're hearing whispering, it is not officially credited to anyone.
Do you have any theories?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Ed Harris.
You think it's Ed Harris? I was thinking it was Kevin Costner. There was one moment where it sounds like him whispering, but...
It's been rumored. People thought it was Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
But I never thought that, especially when there's some line delivery later in the movie.
Okay.
Sounds nothing like the voice. It could be Costner, but Ed Harris is married to Amy Madigan.
Oh.
And if you listen, I can hear a close enough semblance to his voice.
Because he kind of has a whispery voice to begin with.
So it's not official, but those are some theories.
I think a drinking game every time the voice speaks.
Yep.
I think we should probably take a drink. So
that'll be one.
Got a couple to catch up.
There's just a lot of cool throwaway shots for edit purposes and stuff. And that wide open landscape lends itself very well.
The cinematographer and the director. Whisper.
The often most misquoted line from this movie.
Yes, one of Hollywood's most quoted lines.
I never misquote it because I've seen this movie so many times. Mm-hmm. I know it backwards and forwards.
Most people think it's if you build it, they will come.
Nope, it's he.
Yep.
It's okay, honey.
Again, looks very Smallville scene, the opening sequence in the first Superman movie.
I picked Diane Lane over Amy Madigan, though.
Oh, okay.
That's not even a tough question at all.
Although I can totally see Amy Madigan and Kevin Costner as a couple. Their chemistry and their interaction,
they do this work
makes sense
very well.
For an Iowa couple.
I had that Smurf glass.
Oh, yeah, me too. I think everyone had that Smurf glass and the McDonald's Garfield mugs. Remember those?
Yeah. Now, this is what's weird. They were showing Jimmy Stewart in the show Harvey.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Stewart was originally up for the role of Moonlight Graham.
Right.
Which went to Burt Lancaster. So I don't know what they would have done there, because that totally would have blown...
Broken the fourth wall big time. And really, Jimmy Stewart and Frank Capra in general were very inspirational for this film. They very much inspired the way it was shot and the way it was done. And that was said by the director, by Kevin Costner, and critics when it came out even made the connection and said, this almost seems like a modern-day Frank Capra film starring Jimmy Stewart.
And it is so Midwest.
Yeah.
Like, I watched this movie and it doesn't seem out of place to me. It's like, oh yeah, I've been in that store.
Yeah.
I've been with these people. But, you know, for people that live in other parts of the country, it may seem so alien to them, but this is rural farm living. This is what it looks like.
Exactly. This is about as realistic as Hollywood has ever portrayed.
And they probably cast a lot of local people.
And they did.
Which works.
There's another great shot that sort of implies there's something heavenly happening. There's some greater power at work without ever addressing what the greater power is. I feel like most movies
it's
like
alcohol,
this,
by the way.
That is a greater power that... what's he doing in that field? What's
he doing in that corn stalk? Wait, you've never fucked an ear of corn before?
Not with cameras rolling.
Well.
Alright, that's it. Huh? Who are you, huh? What do you want from me?
If you build it, he will come. I can hear Ed Harris in that.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like once you think about it, it's like,
yeah,
that works. And there we go. Now he's having visions.
Yeah, see, the cinematographer wanted to shoot a lot of it at Golden Hour. Real quick, for those who don't know, Golden Hour is it's not a great name because it's actually about a 15-minute window that you have.
Very small time
during
frame.
Sunset, where the lighting is so perfect, it makes everyone's skin just kind of glow and look radiant. So it's a great time to get a shot. So usually filmmakers will look for just like the right moment to get Golden Hour. But the cinematographer wanted entire scenes to have the Golden Hour look. Mm-hmm. So there are scenes at the end of the movie, and you can see especially which one it is, where they had to shoot it, I think, over a 2-week period.
Right.
Even though it's only like a 1.5-minute interaction on screen, because he wanted Golden Hour for every single second, every single frame.
Talk about taking acid in front of the kid.
I think I know what "if you build it, he will come" means.
Ooh, why do I not think this is such a good thing?
I think it means that if I build a baseball field out there, that Shoeless Joe Jackson will get to come back and play ball again.
And divorce papers.
Right. That doesn't sound crazy at all. Yeah, he looks kind of scared to say it out loud because he knows it's making him sound completely crazy.
And they both sell the scene really well.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those things where the first time you see it, you're like, where is this going? This might be a stupid movie.
It lends itself very well to repeat viewings.
Yeah.
And I watch it at least once a year.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's either beginning of baseball season like this, or around Father's Day. It's a very good Father's Day film.
Oh, full moon shot. Need that. If I did, I'd
forgotten. I've been this guy before. Just like, something's on my mind and I'm really interested in it. And I'm like, hey, did you know this? Hey, did you know this? And it's like, I know you don't care, but I feel I have to say
it. Gotta get it off my chest. Yep. But let's raise a glass to any significant other who's ever put up with long, unnecessary conversations that are completely one-sided and have nothing to do with their interests.
Brianna seems entertained by a lot of my facts and information. She does retain some of it.
And sometimes she was even listening.
I'm 36 years old. I have a wife, a child, and a mortgage, and I'm scared to death I'm turning into my father.
I'm now 1 year older than him in this movie.
What's your father got to do with all of this?
I don't have any of the things he just mentioned, and I'm fine with it right now.
By the time he was old as I am now.
My father lives 2 streets over. We had chili the other night.
Hey, if you make it, we'll come over.
Yep.
This movie would have been a completely different movie if it was about a guy making chili for his dad.
Crockpot of dreams.
Crockpot of free afternoon.
Yeah.
Great story about the title of this movie.
Yeah. Basically, the book's called Shoeless Joe. And when they were making the movie, the guy that wrote the screenplay wanted to call it Shoeless Joe. The studio did not like that.
They saw a movie called Shoeless Joe Jackson and were like, it's probably going to be about a homeless guy. And then even when they saw the movie, they were like, why was it called Shoeless Joe?
They didn't see Eight Men Out.
Yeah, not baseball fans, obviously. Not to interrupt, sorry. So the studio, based on that, I think, is when they were like, let's consider changing the name.
Mm-hmm.
And so they suggested
Field of Dreams. And the guy didn't like it. And then talked to W.P. Kinsella, who wrote the book. And it turns out he actually wanted to call it Dreamfield.
So he loved it.
And the publisher changed it to Shoeless Joe.
Yeah.
So it was weird how it kind of came full circle. He was plowing over his corn, which was part of why this movie started with all their interior locations being filmed first, because the corn wasn't tall enough yet.
This was during the drought of, when did they shoot? Was it 87 or 88?
One of those two.
It was, they had a bad drought that summer, and so the corn was just brown, not growing, not looking good. So they brought in something like 40,000 gallons of water on a huge trucks and had to just keep watering the field while they shot the interiors.
And they used sod for a lot of the outfield and painted
it. Yeah, just painted it green, which is, what they actually have to do on some baseball fields.
Now, this is actually kind of cool. Those bleachers are still there.
Mm-hmm.
and they do actually have the heart with the characters' names that they show later in the movie.
Oh, nice.
That actually is still there. At least it was when I was there in fourth grade. So I assume so.
He said he's trying to lose.
It's ridiculous.
The commissioner of baseball,
Kevin Costner, is giving an exposition catch-up on who Shoeless Joe Jackson is. He was part of the Black Sox, which, again, we mentioned Eight Men Out.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about that. Great film starring John Cusack and Michael Rooker and a bunch of other people. Charlie Sheen. Everybody should check it out.
I wasn't much of a baseball fan growing up, so I didn't get a lot of the references. I liked baseball movies. I liked this and Major League and Sandlot, of course. Yeah. But, I didn't get a lot of the trivia mentioned in the movies.
So basically what happened was they were in the World Series, and bets were put on them, and they were told to throw the games.
Right, right.
Well, this came out, and all the people who were accused of throwing it and took bribes were excommunicated and never allowed to play professional baseball again. And Shoeless Joe Jackson was one of them. He was illiterate. Some people still think he didn't even know he was involved in it because the stats he put up in the series would not be the stats of somebody who is intentionally trying not to play well.
Gotcha.
So a lot of people thought he was unfairly excommunicated from doing the one thing he loved in life, which was playing baseball.
Didn't they try to get him, get his name cleared posthumously, and somehow
I think so.
Didn't work out?
Yeah. He ended up, I think he played some sort of baseball elsewhere, you know, in other country or something. I think they actually talked
prison.
About that. Yeah, prison. So the field is done.
And movie's over.
It's something cool to look at, but nothing,
but it
nothing's happening.
It's not making money, that 4 acres of corn.
And now it's winter. So, again, months are going by.
Yeah.
And nothing has happened. No more voices. And he's the crazy man at Christmas staring out the window at his baseball field.
Yeah, the first time you see this movie, you just have a lot of questions about their relationship and why she would stick around.
What's a self?
It's a left-handed pitcher.
Shut up, I'm drinking.
It means a left-handed pitcher, honey.
That's what I just said.
So how bad is it?
Well, considering how much less acreage we have for corn, I say we'll probably almost break even.
Real-life problems.
We used up all our savings on that field, Ray.
Daddy?
Just a minute, Karen.
Like how this is a conversation they don't have until, like, tax season.
So what are you saying? You can't keep the field?
I'm saying you can't keep the field. There's no we here.
I like that you can hear the crickets.
Yeah.
And stuff, because, again, that's very Midwest rural living.
In a minute, Karen.
There's a man out there in your lawn.
Oh, shit. And there's that familiar piano coda that you hear throughout the movie.
That I think was stolen for American Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
who did the music for American Beauty?
I can't think of it.
It wasn't James Horner?
I don't think
like
so.
Like plagiarizing himself?
I don't know, but I love that when John Williams does that. He does that occasionally.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we heard it in Heartbeeps.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, shit.
That happened very recently.
I just love that shot, him standing in the dark.
Yeah, that's a good rim light.
Outfield.
We'll put up some coffee. Why don't you go on outside?
And most movies that have this kind of theme or this kind of story where it's some higher force mm-hmm. gets involved with the protagonist in some way, it's usually a comedy. It's usually like a Groundhog Day
right.
type situation. It's hard to sell it with drama. And I think they did it perfectly. I mm-hmm. really do. I think this is all handled very well. And
like that shot there, he's not centered.
Yeah.
You know, he's casting a shadow across the whole...
Yeah.
The whole shot there. And this was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture.
It was. I forget what it lost to. Was it Driving Miss Daisy? Or might have been the following year.
You can't top Jessica Tandy and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Now, Ray Liotta, when he speaks here, of course, he's going to have his signature Ray Liotta New York accent, which really is not what Shoeless Joe sounded like, apparently. No.
He also, Shoeless Joe, didn't use Chantix.
Yeah, that's...
wasn't around. That's all you see Ray Liotta doing nowadays is talking about Chantix on TV. They got the vintage gloves and the old school style uniform there. He's got a bag of balls and some Louisville Sluggers at the ready. No words exchanged. Like, yeah. I'm gonna do some pop-ups with a ghost.
And it, again, like, it looks totally fine. Like, they're just kind of selling that this is not completely insane.
And he just totally dribbled one into the infield instead of hitting a pop.
Sorry. I get some out there.
I hope.
And another great shot. That's one of those things that you'd have to CGI today just to make it, just to rely on it. But for the camera to tilt up to just the way it did, keeping the ball in frame, for him to hit it where he hit it, for him to catch it where he caught it.
And I always will give Kevin Costner credit. He looks like a baseball player in every baseball movie he does.
Yeah.
Nothing drives me nuts as a baseball fan more than watching somebody who has unnatural athletic movements playing a great athlete.
And that's Liotta had to do a lot of training because he wasn't a baseball player. He was very unfamiliar with the game in general, I believe, and so did a lot of training with an athletic coach to get him to look like he knew a thing or two about baseball, except he throws with his right hand. He pitches.
Yeah, well, I think it was Shoeless Joe hit left-handed and threw right-handed. Yeah. Well, Liotta couldn't switch hit, so they just put him on the right side of the plate, and it's like, whatever.
And he had a go-to line when people would point out to him the inaccuracy of that. Mm-hmm. They would say, like, you know, Shoeless Joe batted left-handed. And he would go, yeah, well, they never came back to life either.
It's like having part of me amputated. I've heard that old men wake up and scratch itchy legs that have been dust for over 50 years. That was me. I'd wake up at night with the smell of the ballpark in my nose.
It's a very poetic movie, too.
It really is. Dialogue. It's a great script.
The thrill of the grass.
That's how I feel. Know what I'm talking about?
Can you pitch? Yeah.
Yeah, he later went on to play Billy Chappell and threw a perfect game in For Love of the Game. And he actually looked like a pitcher. Rookie of the Year, Henry Rowan Gardner does not have a natural pitching
state. Didn't think he had a good...
his slingshot arm.
Wasn't believable.
Don't we need a catcher?
Not if you pitch.
Near the plate, we don't.
Right.
I'll go get the kid. She can shag the fly balls. Although boots are not proper attire for pitching on the mound.
It's a great shot. I don't know if it's this one or if it's coming up in a little bit.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
But there's a shot where he hits, what's the proper term, a line drive?
Yeah, right back at him.
Yeah, hits the bag of balls. I think it's right here. I'm not sure. No. Even that, what a great edit.
Yeah. I think he says, like, I'm going to throw you a curve or something.
You're right.
See if you can hit my curve.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. I've seen this movie a few times.
Yeah, you can hit the curveball.
And that was just an ad-libbed line because they weren't expecting that to happen, of course.
And it's lit very well for, you know, an outdoor farm baseball field.
Yeah.
Right. You're a low ball hitter.
I did love this game.
Yeah, it's a movie that really was a huge success that kind of defied all odds. There's no reason this movie should be as good
sounds,
as it is.
Yeah. Smells. Did you ever hold a ball or a glove to your face?
Yeah.
I used to love traveling on the trains from town to town.
There's so many good monologues in this movie. Mm-hmm. James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
I get goosebumps every time I watch that scene.
It was the crowd. Rising to their feet, the ball was hit deep.
Now, sports are, you know, a huge industry, and every, you know, sports fan has their favorite sport. But I think baseball lends itself best for a romantic nostalgia.
For a dramatic sort of spin to
it. It's, you know, it goes back to an old era of another time. The game hasn't changed much since. I mean, salaries and that kind of thing have, but like the way the game is played has not really changed a whole lot.
You're right. You know, along with being the great American pastime, it's got that nostalgia factor, but also I think that the game itself lends itself to suspense.
Yeah, there's so many subtle nuances to the game. It's slow. It takes time. So the atmosphere is a part of it.
And the even though it's slow, the time in between is so meaningful. Mm-hmm. With football, it's stop and go, stop and go.
Right.
But the suspense isn't there because really anything could happen in the next play. Whereas baseball, it's like, all right, you're looking for the perfect thing to happen. That next pitch, there's so much at stake when the bases are loaded. There's so much suspense involved that I think you're totally right. That dramatization of it, it lends itself to it.
And there's the mist.
Yeah. I built this for you.
There are others, you know. There were 8 of us. It really mean a lot to them.
Yeah. Anytime. They're all welcome here.
So he couldn't cross the rocks that separate the field from the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Hey! Oh, here we go.
Is this heaven?
No. It's Iowa.
Not a Slipknot album. Just Iowa. They just went with
Where's
that.
Going?
I don't know.
He's running into the corn.
So the corn takes you to heaven. If you come the other way, you gotta stay on Earth. It's purgatory.
He's gone.
I think another great thing this movie did the special effects were simple. It's just they dissolve and fade away, fade out of existence as they go to the cornfield. It's not a big flash of light. It's not a you know, rays from heaven coming down or anything like that.
We've got two comedic actors as the in-laws here. Timothy Busfield as Amy Madigan's brother, which I totally buy.
Yeah.
They look enough alike. He, of course, was Poindexter in Revenge of the Nerds, and I think he was on the TV show 30-something around this time.
Okay, I never saw
30-something. It wasn't for us. We were kids.
Yeah.
It was a show our parents watched. We had Parenthood when we got older, but again, you don't have kids, so a lot of that's probably lost on you.
Yeah. Watch a lot of Broad City. And,
right. And his wife was from In Living Color. Lisa Cofield Caulfield, something like that. But she's from the original cast of In Living Color. She was a funny role, though.
You might recognize her as the white woman from In Living Color.
Right, exactly. The white one.
Played the wife of the white man.
Jim Carrey.
Now known as Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Oh boy, here we go. The whole team's showing up now. And the guy, 4 over from the right, He's been in tons of stuff. He was in another movie we watched recently, I think.
I think he often plays a mob henchman.
Yeah. And he also plays the ghost of Babe Ruth in The Sandlot.
Yeah. So, yeah, two actors from this movie ended up being in The Sandlot. Another thing about the musical score by James Horner is there was a lot of music that was in the movie for the first cut that was just unlicensed, just sort of music to have in the background. The studio was like, all right, well, when are you going to put an actual soundtrack in? Because they didn't like it. And James Horner loved it. He said, because it was just, it was kind of doing what the movie music ended up doing, we'd end up doing with it, where it's just sort of that haunting background music. And so he just kind of developed it and, you know, fine-tuned it and made his own score out of it. But he wanted to keep that feel. He thought that it really added to the film, he and the director.
Chicoli, that was 68 years ago. Give it up, will you?
Hey, you guys want to play ball or what?
Muscle-bound jerk.
Oh, yeah? At least I got muscles.
No, at most you got muscle.
Come on, asshole. Pitch.
Weaver. Nice.
The kid.
Sorry, kid.
It's okay. I don't mind.
All right, Garrett.
So, yeah, just a typical Saturday afternoon watching, you know, baseball players from who knows where on your field.
Dead ones.
Right. And here's where another layer of the onion is unwrapped.
Yes.
Ray, think about what I said. And I'm just trying to help.
This movie feels like it's not associated with Quantum Leap in any way, but it feels like Quantum Leap the movie to me for some reason. Like it exists in the same universe somehow.
Right.
See, there's only eight of them, so they can't play a real game. Eight of what? Them.
Oh, dear.
Who them? Them. Well, you don't see them? Karen, honey, what are you watching?
The baseball.
My dad loses his mind.
Baseball? He gave me popcorn.
Do you see the baseball man right now?
Of course I do.
What, you really don't see him? I don't think it's very polite to try to make other people feel stupid.
Mom, wait a minute. Mom, wait a minute.
Why didn't she say, hey, I see them too?
Right.
Oh, okay.
It's not funny, Annie.
I think she likes that her family can't see them.
Yeah.
They're not cool enough.
Yeah, Amy Madigan's performance in this is, I think, the thing that really...
This is really interesting.
...really makes you be okay with the suspension of disbelief aspect. Yeah. It's like, she really makes you go, oh, okay, this is just something that's happening, and I'm okay with it. I'm just enjoying the ride. So look at that sunset. That's...
You must keep
like, every hour is golden hour. Or every shot is golden hour.
Let's see, I died in 70. That means I haven't had a cigarette in what?
18 years.
You don't smoke, do you?
No.
So there's no smoking in heaven.
Yeah.
You hear that, smokers? You gotta quit before you get up there.
Now everybody knows hell is where you smoke.
Oh.
A fire, that's where it's gonna be.
It's more fun anyway.
See you guys.
And back into the corn they go.
The corn needs tasseled.
Wizard of Oz joke there.
Which came out much later than he would have gotten the reference.
Well,
that's
he lived years
issue
later.
Of debate.
Though,
yeah, exactly.
Because they're not.
Right. He still saw the movie.
Right.
I didn't understand. What?
Ease is pain.
Ease is pain. What?
Up, drink.
What the hell does that mean? Ease
is my pain.
What pain? Right? Whose pain? Thanks a lot.
It's like, damn it. Thanks I thought things were normal now. Kinda. Now the voice is back.
I'd almost be excited. Like, there's, like, more to the mission. Like, it's right. a scavenger hunt or something. I'm like, sweet. Built a baseball field. Eight dead people really that I love came to hang out on it. And now there more shit's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to you?
The voice is bad.
Oh, Lord. You don't have to build a football field now, do you?
He said ease his pain.
Ease whose pain?
I asked him. He wouldn't tell me.
Shoeless Joe's?
I don't think so.
One of the other players?
I don't think so.
Ray, this is a very non-specific voice you have out there, and he's starting to piss me off.
Hi, V. Fun day today, you know, a good day.
I didn't know they had their own brand of French fries, but...
Me neither.
And ketchup, apparently.
My family, my mom's family and my dad's grew up in Iowa. And Hy-Vee, I think, was my mother's first job.
Hmm. So we're now at a PTA meeting, and I've never seen a turnout like that
for
a PTA or a town hall meeting.
Isn't that the guy that Kaiser Soze kills at the end of Usual Suspects?
Could be.
Pornography! No. The Supreme Court says it's not.
So they're wanting to ban some books. And this is a fictional person. Terrence Mann is not a real person. This book is not a real book. But he's supposed to be based on J.D. Salinger because in the book it is Salinger.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest changes. But it's because J.D. Salinger threatened to sue the company making the movie if they used his likeness or name. He was a very reclusive person, did not want to be found, and pretty famously so.
You know why he stopped writing books? Because he masturbates.
This again is a very accurate portrayal of the Midwest.
Yeah, because nobody masturbates.
Excuse me.
People getting upset over nothing and making a big deal out of...
This man was a warm and gentle voice.
Here's another monologue for you.
Yeah.
He coined the phrase, make love, not war. While other people were chanting, burn, baby, burn, he was talking about love and peace and understanding. I cherished every one of his...
And I was in California, not Iowa, so I was living.
And I think if you had experienced even a little bit of the 60s, you might feel the same way, too.
I experienced the 60s.
No, I think you had two 50s and moved right on into the 70s.
Eddie, look at this.
Oh, yeah? Well, your husband plowed under his corn and built a baseball field.
What does that have to do with Terrence Mann?
Now, there's an intelligent response.
The weirdo.
Honey, it's all right. I'll be cool. At least he is not a book burner, you Nazi cow.
At least I'm not married to the biggest horse's ass in three counties.
All right, Beulah, do you want to step outside?
Catch me outside, how about that?
Beulah.
I've got a better idea. Let's put it to a vote, all right? Who's for Eva Braun here? Who wants to burn books? Who wants to spit on the Constitution of the United States of America? Anybody?
It's really kind of a weird scene.
Mm-hmm. This is how the locals got in the movie, all right. though.
Now, who's for the Bill of Rights? Who thinks freedom is a pretty darn good thing?
And this scene pretty much only exists, one, to show you what a firecracker Annie is, but also to lead Kevin Costner to Terrence Mann.
Right, to get him thinking about
Terrence
Mann.
Because we can't just introduce the character because it's like, well, how did we get here?
Yeah.
So that's what this is. And
yeah.
Showing how, you know... left-wing she is, and radical for the community they live in.
Why she's such a supportive spouse, and why she's like, I'm cool with my husband doing this. She's a very open-minded person, and we get the backstory of Terrence Mann, so that when he shows up and is immediately rejected, it's not a big deal. I feel like it was a John Hughes shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just directed that one shot.
I know whose pain I'm supposed to eat.
What?
I know whose pain it is I'm supposed to eat.
Ray, I just halted the spread of neo-fascism in America. You're talking...
Terrence Mann.
What about it?
That's who's paying.
Oh, how do you know that?
I don't know. I just know. I mean, I was right about building a field, wasn't I?
Yeah. Well, what's his paying?
I don't know.
Well, how are you supposed to ease it?
I don't know.
Ray.
Seeing a high school in the late 80s in the Midwest just kind of is nostalgic for me.
And now it's research time.
All right. This is a famous montage in the 80s as well, going through microfilm.
Microfiche.
That's
the library. I feel like I should be on a sailing boat right now
right.
with this kind of music.
Or playing Wind Waker.
It's incredible. By the early 70s, the guy decides people have become either too extremist or too apathetic to listen to him. So he stops writing books. He starts writing poetry about whales and stuff. And then he starts fooling around with a home computer. He gets hooked. You know what he does now?
Nope.
He writes software for interactive children's videos. And they teach kids how to resolve their conflicts peacefully.
Like Mr. Rogers.
God, what an amazing guy.
Yeah, but what's he got to do with baseball?
In the April 1962 issue of Jet Magazine, there's a story here. It's called This Is Not a Pipe. Okay? It's not his best work, but he wrote a story. A character that man created 26 years ago is named John Cancelo, my father.
Wow.
Big wow.
What do you want me to say? Big wow. What's it got to do with baseball?
You drive.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
Like, I feel she was not reacting appropriately. Like, oh yeah, there's a character with your dad's name that you didn't know.
I was a baseball fanatic. Listen to this. As a child, my earliest recurring dream was to play at Ebbets Field with Jackie Robinson and the Brooklyn Dodgers. Of course, it never happened, and the Dodgers left Brooklyn and they tore.
Did you ever see Laramie, the Laramie Project?
No.
It's an excellent movie. Very sad movie. It's about Matthew Shepard, who is the young man who was killed mm-hmm. in a bar in Laramie, Wyoming, back in the late 90s for being gay. And she played, Amy Madigan played the, I think she was like a deputy, sheriff's deputy in the county.
Oh, okay.
That found the body. And,
gotcha.
Tried to resuscitate him and everything. And she was just absolutely excellent. I mean, the movie is based on a true story, so mm-hmm. she's playing a real person, and it's based on their actual interviews. But she was amazing in that.
You don't really see her in much anymore.
Yeah, that's the last thing I could really think of seeing her in.
Where's the kid?
Well, who cares?
School?
I'm sorry, pal.
Hanging out with dead people in the baseball field.
Right.
We're having moderate to heavy financial difficulties here, and you can't take off for Boston while we're going broke in Iowa.
Danny, this is really new territory.
They have Yahtzee. I saw it on the bookcase behind them. When primal force of nature and they walked by.
The prudent things not to quibble over details.
Yeah, but why do you have to go? Why can't the voice
say? She's fighting Yahtzee. Else? She's fighting Nazis and playing Yahtzee. Yeah. Edit that line out. That did not deliver the way that I was meaning it to deliver.
I have to find out.
Ray,
that's kind of a hip looking bed frame. Doing the
they got bed lights above each of their spots there.
You know what that's for?
Reading books.
I understand your need to prove to yourself and to the world you are not turning into your father, but you've done it. Look, you believed in the magic. It happened. Isn't that enough?
I was going to open a McDonald's too.
I know this is totally nuts, but it.
Speaking of McDonald's, did you ever see The Founder with Michael Keaton?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty good movie.
Good.
Yeah.
Tell me what it is.
I think something's going to happen to the game. I don't know what, but there's something at Fenway Park, and I got to be there with Terrence.
I've never been to Fenway.
Is Fenway the one with the big green wall in left field?
Yeah.
I dreamt last night you were at Fenway with Terrence Mann.
Was I sitting on the first base side?
Yes.
About halfway up on the aisle?
Yeah, you were keeping score and
I was eating a hot dog. I had the same dream.
I'll help you pack.
Why didn't that come up sooner?
Yeah. Maybe she, it's one of those things where you don't remember the dream until
right.
later in the day as things are happening.
Yeah,
yeah again, like, I feel if most directors, most actors attempted that previous scene, it would have come off as real cheesy, real campy, just formulaic and stupid. That was well done.
Yeah.
I'm into the movie.
This is an Allman Brothers.
Ramblin' Man.
It?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Wait, no, this is a Ramblin' Man. This is, was it Jessica?
This is his swingers Jon Favreau answering machine scene. Trying to figure out how to introduce himself.
Hi. How do you do, Mr. Man? I have to take you to a basement. All right, stupid, put your hands up and get in the trunk. Good. He lives right around here, do you know him? Sort of a tall black man. I'm a friend of his.
He was much of a friend. Did he give you the directions?
Man, I want some beef feet.
I want some whole chickens.
Pickled rolled beef.
Veal brains.
Get away from me. I ain't gonna tell you nothing.
Old Jewish lady not having it.
Count Orlok wants right. to be left alone.
Blocks down, right hand side. First door that don't have a chicken in the window is his. No chicken.
Charlie was very helpful.
You can always rely on a gas station attendant named Charlie.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts on Kevin Costner in general?
I don't know much about him personally, but I do like quite a few of his movies.
Yeah, that's, he got a lot of guff for not being able to do a British accent in Robin Hood, Prince right. of Thieves, and people have made fun of him here and there for Waterworld and other, The Postman. It's pretty bad, bad movie. But I got to give him credit when it's due, and I think he's really good in this. I think The Dances with Wolves is a masterpiece. It's a beautiful movie.
Who the hell are you? He would probably be in my top five favorite actors.
He just seems like a cool guy. He really does. Even if he's not great in everything he does, and he's had movies that didn't do that well, he just seems like a down-to-earth, normal guy.
And this is our introduction to James Earl Jones as Terrence Mann. This is a weird door ringer, right?
I want a doorbell like that.
We got a learning disability here?
Mr. Mann, if I could just have 1 minute, please.
Look, I can't tell you the secret of life, and I don't have any answers for you. I don't give interviews, and I'm no longer a public figure. I just want to be left alone.
Are you thinking of Vader sessions, too?
A little bit.
Look, I've come 1,500 miles to see you at the risk of losing my home and alienating my wife. All I'm asking is 1 minute. Please.
And this isn't James Earl Jones's first baseball movie, and also not his last.
Yeah.
You mentioned The Sandlot. He is in the original Sandlot. But the movie he was in before this was Bingo Long's Traveling All-Stars, which is about a Negro League baseball team that also stars Billy Dee Williams and Richard Pryor.
Wow.
Came out in the 70s. I own it.
All right.
Yep.
That sounds... Is it good?
Yeah, I like it.
There comes a time when all the cosmic tumblers have clicked into place and the universe opens itself.
Yeah, I need to see more baseball movie. Well,
I have a lot of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to be...
You're from the 60s.
Somebody who's...
Yeah, actually...
Oh, hey! Back to the 60s.
Wait a
back.
Second.
No place for you here in the future. Get back while you still can.
But I had a dream that you made a flux capacitor.
Right.
You've changed. You know this?
Yes, I suppose I have. How about this? Peace, love, dope. Now get the hell out of here.
Future boy. It's pretty much the same scene for just that little moment.
It's not how he thought that was going to go. But he's got one more idea.
And plan B.
The door is ajar. Peekaboo. This is funny. He's got his hand in his coat, pretending it's a gun, his finger.
Really pissed me off.
Okay, just hold it. Right there. I was hoping I wasn't going to have to do it this way.
What the hell is that?
It's a gun. What do you think it is?
It's your finger.
No, it's not. It's a gun.
Yeah, let me see it.
Get out of here. I'm not going to show you my gun. Now, look.
He's talking
I'm
about his penis, right?
I hope not. And...
he needs to clean those windows.
What are you doing?
Yeah, that telescope does no good with windows looking like that.
Whoa, wait. You can't do that.
There are rules here? Oh, no. There are no rules here.
You're a pacifist. Shit.
If I'm ever about to get my ass kicked, I'm going to try that.
You kidnapping me? What's the deal here?
I was hoping I could just convince you to come with me.
So you are kidnapping me?
I have to take you to a baseball game.
You what?
Tonight's game. Red Sox A's.
Why?
Something will happen there. I don't know what, but we'll find out when it does.
I don't know. It's part of the story development.
My name's Ray Kinsella. You used my father's name for a character in one of your stories. John Kinsella.
You're seeing a whole team of psychiatrists, aren't you?
I don't blame you for thinking that, but no, I'm not.
So you should be.
Right, that's even worse.
The least crazy person I have ever known.
Then why are you kidnapping me to a baseball game?
May I?
Oh, please.
No.
Want some cookies?
No. I read an interview you gave a long time ago about how you always dreamed of playing it.
Something funny about Vader asking you if you want some cookies.
So yeah. I never said that. Want some coffee? Want some cookies?
You didn't?
I don't even recall thinking that.
Mufasa, and I think he's still doing the voice.
He's reprising the role.
Disney one, yeah.
Yeah, which I'm excited about. Jon Favreau is directing it, and he hit it out of the park with Jungle Book.
Mm.
It's a long story.
I'd say Jon Favreau is possibly my favorite contemporary director.
It's a really good story.
He just always approaches the movie for what it's supposed to be instead of trying to put his signature look on it. And I think he always succeeds in everything he directs. Iron Man 2 had some issues.
Yeah, it did.
But
Mickey Rourke.
Mostly, yeah, he wasn't great in it. And mostly, I think it was the script that was the problem.
I don't own that
too much in one movie.
So what do you do with yourself these days?
And he's a showrunner for the Star Wars TV show coming out, which I'm really excited about.
What sunsets.
Don't you miss being involved?
I was the East Coast distributor of Involved. I ate it, drank it, breathed it. Then they killed Martin, killed Bobby, the elected Tricky Dick.
Is this Scorsese and De Niro or right. somebody yep. else?
I must be miserable because I'm not involved anymore, but I got news for you. I spent all my misery years ago. I got no more pain left for any of you. I gave it the office.
So what do you want?
I want to see James Earl Jones in the office.
To stop looking to me
as Stanley. Stanley's dad.
I want them to start thinking for themselves. And I want my privacy.
I want to see him as Creed.
Yeah. No. You want a beer? Look at those prices.
What is that, 5 cents for...
It's like
cookies?
$1.25 for a pretzel, $2.25 for a Polish sausage, a Fenway Frank, $1.50.
Okay, you should be entitled to as much price.
Yeah, that beer poured already.
Why?
Yeah, that's how you know it's good.
Published the word in 17 years, and still I have to.
It's the least busy concession stand I've ever seen in a baseball park.
Yeah, the other two guys are standing there with their arms folded,
just upset for some reason.
That fuck yeah.
Kind of a weird scene, to be honest. That's like the one weird scene in the movie for me that's somehow more unrealistic than building a baseball field in your cornfield for dead baseball players.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Drink. Go the distance.
Did you hear that piano hit?
And then this is weird.
Go the distance.
He's getting visions. Archibald Moonlight Graham, Chisholm, Minnesota, New York Giants, 1922. Lifetime stats, 1 game, 0 at-bats. Now, Kevin Costner here is keeping score. I used to do that too. I had a stat book and I would keep score of every game I went to. It's a lost art. You don't really see people doing it much anymore.
Now, is it just to be involved yourself, or is
I think it keeps you focused on the game, what's going on, because there's different ways to do it. Mine was very detailed. Like, you could replay almost the entire game just from reading my scorecard. Like, how many pitches were thrown?
So the scorecard says a lot more than just the scoreboard.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, if a runner reached to second base and if he was brought home from there or if he made it to third.
That's how I play Clue.
Okay.
Whenever somebody passes, I take real detailed notes. Yeah. Always win.
Now the awkward ride home.
You ever played Clue for money? Everybody puts $5 in the envelope?
No.
I recommend it.
Rick Rubin's restaurant.
Now here we are. Are we to Galena quite yet? I think no, that's not until the flashback.
Yeah,
we're still in like Detroit.
Where they're gonna go next. They're it's taking him.
And you can tell. Have you been to Galena before?
No, there's a brewery there though.
There's a brewery there. I went there many years ago, and it's, you know, got just a bunch of shops. You walk along, and it's mostly like souvenir shop kind of places. But it
My
has a real old timey look to it.
Yeah.
And Ulysses S. Grant, one of his homes, is there. This little tourist attraction.
I used to feel that way about things, but
little mini monologue.
Another message, didn't you?
A monologue.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
I already think you're crazy. What did it say?
Said the man's done enough. Leave him alone.
No, it didn't.
Nope, he's a blackjack dealer now.
Yeah. He's going to do some illusions.
Hey, it's the turtle van.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong color, but it's Raphael's turtle van.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Moonlight Graham.
You saw it.
Saw what?
You saw it. New York Giants, 1922. He played one game, never got to bat. You saw it.
What did I see, Ray?
Chisholm, Minnesota. We were the only ones who saw it. Did you hear the voice, too? It's all right to admit it. It's what told me to.
And if you pay attention, when he, in the last scene,
go the distance.
James Earl Jones kind of like turns his head when the voice.
Do you know what it means?
Speaks.
Yes.
What?
It means we're going to Minnesota to find Moonlight Graham.
We're going. We?
I must be out of my mind.
What do we do? What do we do when we find him?
How the hell am I supposed to know that?
That's right. That's
well. Now
right.
He's got a tag team partner. You know. Now it's a buddy film.
I don't believe I'm doing this.
And it's fitting all the molds of a buddy film. It's a white guy and a black guy. They have a little bit of tension, but it's nothing to be concerned
about.
And
now they're listening to the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
They're two guys from the 60s.
They're in a van. They're hitting the road.
It's China Grove.
Hey, Annie, guess what? I'm with Terrence Mann.
I think that's when the Die Hard movies fell apart. It was after Die Hard 3, he stopped having black friends.
Oh, okay.
First three movies, he always had a black friend. And it, like, somehow grounded in reality or something. I don't know, but come Die Hard 4, it was, like, him hanging out with his kids, and he's just driving Justin Long cross-country in some weird nerdy version of Midnight Run.
I don't know if I've seen all of them.
4 and 5 were pretty bad. The biggest problem with 4, aside from having no black friends, no profanity. It was a PG-13 movie. How do you make a PG-13 Die Hard movie?
Mother Trucker.
Mother Father. Yeah.
Yeah. Mother Lover.
Monster Trucker. Why didn't you tell him?
These two guys from the bank, if I remember right, they're related to the people that own the farm. And that's like their little cameo.
No moonlight.
Follow me.
James Earl Jones knows how to get the story. So here we are. We're now in Galena.
Yeah, this is Galena, Illinois.
The Lantern Supper Club.
I wonder if it's still there.
Hello.
I like all the old people in this town. They're good secondary characters.
Oh, you mean Doc Graham?
No, I think his nickname was Moonlight.
Well, that's Dr. Graham.
Dr. Graham?
His baseball career never amounted to much, so he went back to school. His father was a doctor.
Do you know where we can find him?
It's nothing bad. We're not from the IRS or anything.
Dr. Graham is dead. He died in 1972. And there were times when children could not afford eyeglasses or milk.
It's not quite jewelry. A Minnesota accent.
Yet no child was ever denied his essentials.
Yeah, it's just sort of, and it makes sense. It's kind of like a Minnesotan, Northern Illinois, Chicagoan, Midwest accent.
Or the ticket to the ball game found their way into the child's pocket. The day he died.
Yes, sir. You're a good writer.
So are you.
Aw, she knows who he is.
Aw.
Something's missing.
Our minds.
Well, he sounds like he was a wonderful man.
Half the towns in North America have a Doc Graham. What makes this one so special? We have to travel halfway across the country to find him 16 years after he died. He's got to be more.
It's always a great shot. Newspaper clippings, eyeglasses, magnifying glass. You know what the scene is about when you see that shot. There's an investigation going on.
And he always carried an umbrella.
What was the umbrella for?
I think it got to be a habit, you know, something to hang on to. If you asked him,
that guy's the town local racist, closet case local racist.
And drinks some old style.
And that guy works for the public radio station.
He moved to South Carolina after Doc passed. She passed a couple of years later. She always wore blue. The shopkeepers in town would stock blue hats because they knew if Doc walked by, he'd buy one.
Now, apparently,
when they cleaned
this character is a fictionalized version of a real person. That there was a guy, played one game, never had an at bat. And that was the rest of his career. He just did something else. But there's other details that are a little different. But it's still some more old-timey baseball realness to the story. And these anecdotes apparently came from his real obituary.
Oh, so
when he passed, so
he did become a doctor and just sort of had a small town like local hero life. There's a sale at Penny's.
His father, who lives in Baltimore, notified police after receiving no answer to repeated telephone calls. Shoot, I better call him.
So the lesson is check in with your parents even if you're in your 40s.
The days before cell phones.
Yeah.
When you're worried about nothing constantly.
What did I tell him?
Hey, I'm in Minnesota.
This is where you really get to see the beauty of Galena at night. Mm. The Galena streets. There's a shot when he's walking across the street here with Doc Graham.
What's playing at the theater here at the plaza?
Was it The Godfather, I think?
Oh, re-elect Nixon. That's confusing. The Godfather, one of this year's 10 best.
So, we're in 72.
And there's that damn music again.
What else came out in 72? I'd say The Godfather was the best of 72.
Oh, license plate confirms it.
There's that American Beauty music again.
Well, I don't know what happened, but I've somehow traveled in time, like Quantum Leap. And there's the guy from The Exorcist.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dr. Graham?
You think they're shooting with a blue filter? Is that shot day for night, or is it just excellent nighttime lighting?
I'm going to say excellent nighttime lighting.
No, Burt Lancaster.
My name's Ray Kinsella. I'm
from Iowa.
Cabaret, Deliverance, Poseidon Adventure, Frenzy, Last Tango in Paris, Superfly, Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex.
These aren't Burt Lancaster movies, right?
Last House on the Left. No, these are all films from 1972. Jeremiah Johnson, Blackula.
All right, Blackula, actually, that might be better than
The Cowboys. The Godfather. Play It Again, Sam.
I mean, I'd like to talk to you.
I like the way Burt Lancaster talks.
Yeah.
It's just something about the his phrasing and...
Eat. Let's go to eat. Let's get some food.
I never go to a place that says eat.
It was the last day of the season. Bottom of the eighth inning.
Yeah, there's a staircase from The Exorcist.
I'd been up with the club about 3 weeks, but I hadn't seen any action. Suddenly, old John McGraw points a bony finger in my direction and he says, right field.
You owe me money.
Yeah.
I jumped up like I was sitting on a spring. Grabbed my glove. And ran out on the field.
He's recalling the days of being a streaker.
Ray Stevens wrote a song about him, and here's the comment.
I knew they sent me back down. I couldn't bear the thought of another year in the minors. So I decided to hang him up.
How many umbrellas do you need? They say he always carried one, but there's at least four umbrellas there.
So what
umbrellas and blue hats.
Yeah.
It was like having this close to your dreams.
And I wonder if the umbrella thing is real, or if they just said that so we would know immediately upon seeing him. Oh, that guy's holding an umbrella. It's not raining. That's him.
Yeah. It's both clever character bio and... It's great visual exposition for us.
And now, Ray Kinsella, I want to ask you a question.
Have you had your flu shot this year? Okay, Iowa and Minnesota are not that far from each other, especially depending upon where at in Minnesota and where at in Iowa. For him to say all the way.
It would actually take longer to drive from, like, one portion of Texas to another portion of Texas.
You came all the way from the neighboring state.
Grant me that wish.
Probably at least 2 hours.
Then again, in the Midwest, that is kind of an all the way.
Wait, you drove more than 5 miles?
I never got to bat in the major leagues. I'd have liked to have that chance just once. To stare down a big league pitcher.
This is his monologue.
Stare him down, and just as he goes into his windup, like, make him think you know something he doesn't. That's what I wish for. Chance to squint at a sky so blue that it hurts your eyes just to look at it. To feel the tingle in your arm as you connect with the ball. To run the bases, stretch a double into a triple, and flop face first into third. Wrap your arms around the bag.
Although it would have been fun to see Jimmy Stewart deliver this monologue.
Mm-hmm.
I really like what Burt Lancaster does, but it would have been fun.
And this was his last film.
Yeah. He did a couple of like TV movie kind of things, small roles.
Say if I said yes, I think I'd actually believe you.
And he's old-time Hollywood.
So there's a place where things like that happen, and if you want to go, I can take you. This is my most special place in all the world, Ray. Once a place touches you like this, the wind never blows so cold again. You feel for it. Like it was your child. I can't leave just...
I understand. I do. But I really think you're supposed to come with us.
You're going to be the oldest man ever to play baseball.
But your wish.
It'll have to stay a wish.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
Baseballer.
But no regrets.
I wish I had a girl.
50 years ago,
I'd call her.
5 minutes.
Alicia wouldn't like that.
Came this close.
I better go buy her another new hat.
Kill some men to get that close to their dream and not touch.
Very different song.
They'd consider it a tragedy,
son. If I'd only gotten to be a doctor for 5 minutes, now that would have been a tragedy. I better be getting home. Alicia will think I got a girlfriend.
And he smiled. And then I figured maybe we're not supposed to take him with us.
And I like that, that it jumps from him so there to telling the story, like, right up to that point.
Yeah, it's a well-written script. It cuts right to the point.
There's not much filler.
Yeah.
I mean, we agree the one scene kind of jumps out, but it
serves a purpose. Reason. Yeah, there is a reason for it.
This is the United States calling. Are we reaching?
Right.
Oh, fine. I'm just so glad it's you.
There was a man answering.
Listen, I talked to the bank, and I asked them if we could miss a payment or two. And they told me that they had just sold the note on the farm to Mark, his partners.
Her brother bought their farm.
Right, so they own the paper now. And he says if we don't sell to them, they're going to foreclose. Ray, we don't have the money.
Okay, look, I've got to take Mr. Mann back to Boston first, all right? So it's,
No.
Listen.
I'm going to Iowa with you.
I'm going to live with you now. You're my family.
We're coming home.
Hell, I can't quit now. Gotta see this ballpark.
Not everyone can see it. You might not.
Give it a try.
I need all the karma I can get right now.
Hitchhike karma.
And they're killed and thrown in a ditch. Right. Movie takes a real psycho kind of turn all of a sudden.
How far are you going?
How far are you going?
Iowa.
Well, if it's okay with you, I think I'll just ride along a while. I play baseball.
Hop in.
Hmm. What's this kid's name? James Earl Jones is smiling.
I'm looking for a place to play. I heard that all through the Midwest, they have towns with teams. And in some places, well, they'll even find you a day job so you can play ball nights and weekends.
Well, this is your lucky day, kid. We're going someplace kind of like that.
All right.
I'm Ray Kinsella. This is Terrence Mann.
Hi. I'm Archie Grant.
Oh, no, he didn't.
So this is Doc Graham. This is young Doc Graham, who has somehow come back to life as young Frank Whaley.
Yeah.
And he is hitching a ride back to play in the field so he can live out his dream.
You know, finding you a job so that you could play on their team.
Posthumously.
Right.
They haven't done that for years.
With time travel.
My dad did that for a while, but that was
a lot of magic in this movie.
Yeah.
What happened to your father?
He never made it as a ball player. So
did you ever see Frank Whaley in the John Hughes movie Career Opportunities?
I saw the movie years ago, but I don't remember him being in it.
Jennifer, he's the main character.
Oh, wait, that's the one where they rob the...
They're stuck in the department store.
Stuck in the department store, yeah, I do remember that. I was thinking of a Michael J. Fox movie for a second.
Connelly on a motorized horse.
Yeah.
That's really all you have to say.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the... everybody's reaction to it in the movie as well.
Yep.
You see, that's the kind of crap people always have to lay on me. It's not my fault you wouldn't play catch with me.
Yes, I remember that shot as well as I remember the video for Criminal by Fiona Apple. Those are two things I remember well from my teen years.
I packed my thing, said something awful, and left. After a while, I wanted to come home, but I didn't know how.
I was told you can never go home again, but you can buy a house two blocks away from it. I'm living proof of that. And then if you have a crock pot of dreams, you can make chili and take it over.
Thing you said. To your father.
He said I could never respect a man whose hero was a criminal.
Fiona Apple?
Yeah, right. What he needs is a good defense.
She was Joe Jackson.
Or just to ride around in his underwear on some shag carpet.
Even if he wasn't a criminal. Then why did you say it?
I was an asshole.
I wonder why Frank Whaley never had a career that like really took off. He never became a household name. I like him in everything I've seen him in.
Tell him.
Penance.
I know. I can't bring my father back.
So the least you can do is bring back his hero.
Well.
Evidently, being a ghost is very tiring because he's slept the entire drive so far.
Just tuckered out.
The lights on.
It's the same feeling I get when I see the top of the American Eagle. I'm driving to Great America.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, sweet, I'm there.
Yep. I always see the Gateway Arch peeking out over the horizon when I'm on my way to St. Louis for a ball game. You can still see it from Illinois. Oh, they woke him up. That was nice of them.
We missed you. Are you okay?
Yeah. This is Terrence Mann.
Terry.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry.
I called a lady a Nazi that wanted to ban your book.
Damn. Archie.
He's coming to practice with the team.
Yeah, well, he's going to be able to do a lot more than that.
What does that mean?
Now it's an all-star game. There's a couple St. Louis Cardinals there. An athletic. Yankees.
Thanks, Joe.
I think Terrence can see him.
Mm-hmm.
That shoot is Joe Jackson.
Of course it is. I mean, you didn't believe me?
I thought I did, but... Oh, my God.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Terry, I'd like you to meet Shoeless Joe Jackson. Joe, Terry Mann.
It's a pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure's mine. Ray, I hope you don't mind, but we got tired of just having practices, so we brought another team out with us so we could have some real games.
I don't mind. Where'd they come from?
Where did we come from? You wouldn't believe how many guys wanted to play here. We had to beat them off with a stick.
That sounds very uncomfortable. I'll use my hand, thank you very much.
And Gil Hodges.
And Ty Cobb wanted to play. None of us could stand a son of a bitch when we were alive, so we told him to stick it.
Oh, there's that Goodfellas Ray Liotta laugh.
Hey, are you Graham?
Yes, sir.
Oh shit, they were waiting for him.
On the sidelines here. You came to play ball, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll go warm up.
Yes, sir.
Rookies.
Unbelievable.
Ty Cobb. They made a movie about him. Tommy Lee Jones played him. That's actually one baseball movie I don't own. He was incredibly mean and I believe a pretty big racist.
Safe!
I always like when baseball teams do the throwback games where they'll wear the old style uniforms and they've got the old logos and they don't wear old time gloves or anything because that would make it really difficult, but it's just cool to see them do the throwback stuff. Uh-oh, he just winked at the pitcher. He did not like that.
Hey, hey!
Don't let him shake you up, Arch. Hang in there, buddy.
Hey, Knuckles, what are you throwing at the kid for?
He winked at me.
Don't wink, kid.
Good thing for you we didn't throw the fastball, kid.
Don't wink at Major League pitchers.
Let's go, come on, Sprout. Come in.
And up at the eyes again.
Up. How about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Time.
Time.
All right, those first two were high and tight. So what do you think the next one's going to be?
Well, either low and away or in my ear.
He's not going to want to load the bases, so look for low and away.
Right.
Strategy.
But watch out for in your ear.
I've been reading a book that's all about It's Reggie Jackson and Bob Gibson, two of the all-time greats, talking about the strategy of the game from a hitter's perspective and from a pitcher's perspective. Huh. It's been a really interesting read. It's just a conversation they had.
That's one of those things, if you're not a baseball fan, you just don't realize how much goes into the concentration of the game in those moments. It's, which kind of calls back to what I was saying earlier, the suspense of the game. Mm-hmm. There's so much behind it that you're aware of watching it, but you don't know exactly what's happening in each player's mind. But they have to have such complete focus to predict what the next thing is going to be.
You got to sacrifice fly. An annoying smile.
A lot of meaningful looks in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the next day. And here comes that jerk-off brother-in-law.
Here comes that Richard Dreyfuss wannabe.
Right. All right, so the timing in this scene, I wonder how many times it had to be shot. Because he isn't supposed to be able to see these players, and he just walks right in front of a fastball and a guy swinging a bat and doesn't react at all.
Ray, it's time to put on your little fantasies and come down to earth.
It's not a fantasy, Mark. They're real.
Who is real?
Shoeless Joe Jackson, the White Sox, all of them.
You mean?
No, you can't see me.
Can you see me? I'm a black man.
Well, who's this? Elvis?
Ray. Oh, that really offended him for some reason.
In fact, it's Terrence Mann. Right. How do you do? I'm the Easter Bunny.
Ray, listen. We need to sell this thing, right?
Ray, you have no money.
I have no money. But I don't have a baseball field in Iowa.
But I do have a deal to offer you that's going to allow you to stay on the land.
Daddy, you don't have to sell the farm.
Let us buy you out. We'll leave the house. You can live on it rent-free as long as you want.
What about the baseball field?
Ray, do you realize how much this land is worth?
Yeah.
There again, what's with the Richard Dreyfuss impression?
$100 an acre. Well, and you gotta realize we can't keep a useless baseball diamond in the middle of rich farmland.
Read my lips, Mark. We're staying, all right? We're staying.
Ray, you're bankrupt. I'm offering you a way to keep your home because I love my sister. Now, my partners, Ray, they don't give a damn about you, and they're ready to foreclose right now.
Daddy, we don't have to sell the farm.
Yeah, just Karen, listen to the kid.
Please,
just wait. Wait.
People will come.
What people, sweetheart?
From all over. They'll just decide to take a vacation, see? And they'll come to Iowa City. You'll think it's really boring.
Because there's nothing to do in Iowa City.
Buying a ticket.
Hi, I'm in Delaware.
Right?
You're not seriously listening to this, are you?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, she's our new financial consultant.
Come here.
To watch the game. It will be just like when they were little kids. A long time ago. And they'll watch the game and remember what it was like.
Can we do something about my hair?
People will come.
All right. This is fascinating. It is. But the fact remains is that you don't have the money to bring the mortgage up to date, so you're still going to have to sell. I'm sorry, Ray. We got no choice.
Ray.
Oh, here you go.
People will come, Ray.
And Major League Baseball has used this for, like, hype videos and stuff.
They turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your
and he thought that this monologue might be dropped from the movie. He was very afraid that it would be.
Ridiculous.
Of course.
It's one of the most memorable parts of it.
Look around, you say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it is money they have and peace they like.
Ray, just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers. Sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon.
And all the players have stopped at this point.
Yeah, it's that good of a monologue.
You have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines. Where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game. And it'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters.
Of Lake Minnetonka.
The memories will be so thick
let the brush them away from their faces.
Like Karen's
Ray,
hair.
When the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
People will come, Ray.
You're broke, Ray. You sell now or you lose everything.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America's rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
And Ray, that monologue can come from that character because he's a writer.
Yeah.
If it was Amy Madigan doing that, it'd
be out of place,
kinda
out
of character. But you've got one of the greatest living writers sitting there, and of course he's going to wax poetic. And
I could see why James Earl Jones and his wife both where James Earl Jones especially was afraid the monologue would just be cut from the movie, because from a script standpoint it does kind of break up the drama for a moment of will he or won't he sell,
right?
And it really is necessary, and I think that if James Earl Jones hadn't been cast as the character, it might actually have been cut from a studio perspective. But he delivers it so perfectly.
Annie, Ray, you build a baseball field in the middle of nowhere, and you sit here and you stare at nothing.
Not nothing.
And you turn your daughter into a damn space.
Get your hands off her.
Trying to help you, damn it.
Whoa.
Oh, shit. We just killed a kid.
Is she all right?
I don't know.
Is she breathing?
Should I get the car?
Uh-oh. There's Archie. He hasn't gone through medical school yet.
Yeah. How does he know what to do?
Anyway,
one of the ghosts can fix her.
You know, if one of the ghosts can retroactively get a Wizard of Oz reference,
right?
I guess he can tap into his future self's medical experience.
Well, because you're gonna see what happens here. He's at the point of no turning back.
Oh, he's at the rocks.
Just wait.
This is another one of our quantum leap type moments.
Yep. One of the few special effects in the movie.
But still, it's just a soft dissolve from one leg, one person's legs to the next.
She fell.
I think that's the third what the fuh of the movie.
This child's choking.
To ensure that PG rating.
Hold it steady now.
This is old time medicine here. He just
smack her on the back.
Smack him on the back. Yep, hot dog.
Hot dog. Stuck in her throat.
Hot dog, hot diggity dog.
Oh, she'll be all right. She'll be turning handsprings before you know it. Thank you, Doc.
No, sir. Thank you.
Oh, my God, you can't go back. You can't go back, can
it's
you?
It's all right.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
He got his hit.
Before Alicia begins to think I got a girlfriend.
I'm starting to think that wink means he really does have a girlfriend. Like, at first it was a, hey, aren't I a funny old faithful man? And now it's like, wait, dude, is there...
It was a lady from the newspaper.
Makes sense.
She waxed all poetic on his obituary. I want to know which St. Louis Cardinal that's supposed to be. They don't have names on the back of their jerseys. Oh. Now he sees it.
Hmm. Now that he's killed, almost killed a girl.
Yeah.
You were good.
And there's that lighting you were talking of for his farewell shot. And to this day, he's still walking in the corn.
You gotta keep this farm.
Mark, you've had a very rough day. Why don't you go inside and get something?
I want to see a Children of the Corn,
yeah,
Field of Dreams crossover.
Well, he's been converted.
Still, why does he get to see the dead players? He just tried to kill his niece. Right. I mean, he didn't try to, but that would have been manslaughter if it wasn't for Doc Graham.
See you tomorrow.
And this is this is our final scene here.
Hey, do you want to come with us?
You mean it?
No, not you.
Him?
Come with you?
Out there.
What is out there?
Come and find out.
Wait a second. Why him? I built this field. You wouldn't be here if it weren't for me. You wouldn't be here if it weren't...
You have a family.
I know, but I want to know what's out there. I want to see it.
But you're not invited.
Not invited? What do you mean I'm not invited?
It's my corn.
That's my corn out there. You guys are guests in my corn.
Great.
No, wait. I have done everything I've been asked to do. I didn't understand it, but I've done it. And I haven't once asked what's in it for me.
What are you saying, Ray?
I'm saying, what's in it for me?
Is that why you did this? For you? I think you better stay here, Ray.
Or you'll be sleeping with the fishes.
That was a good Ray Liotta laugh.
Yeah, he did one earlier.
I can do a Richard Dreyfuss laugh, even though Richard Dreyfuss isn't actually in this movie.
No, he is not.
What interview? What are you talking about?
What about Ebbets Field, one that charged you up and sent you all the way to Boston to find me?
You lied to me.
Well, you were kidnapping me at the time, you big jerk.
Well, you lied to me.
You said your finger was a gun. Ray.
His finger was a ray gun.
Listen to me, Ray. Listen to me.
We should have made that a drink. Every
there
time
is something out there,
the
Ray.
Word ray is said.
You're right.
And if I had the courage to go through with this, what a story it'll make. Shoeless Joe Jackson comes to Iowa.
Are you going to write about it?
What? You better write about it.
You're going to write about it.
That's what I do.
Good.
Go run through my corn. Now his dad's going to file another missing persons report. Like, he told him, like, hey, I'm going to Iowa with this guy, and then he never comes back.
Honey, that's why there was never a sequel. It was too sad. Ray gets arrested and convicted.
How are you feeling, sweetheart?
Me now?
Yeah.
That was a weird... how are you feeling, Karen?
Stupid.
Because I choked on a hot dog.
I feel stupid because my uncle attacked me.
Be careful.
You should have also taken a drink every time Amy Madigan's voice cracks.
Don't be afraid of the corn. And it doesn't take long to disappear walking into a cornfield. So, like, the whole dissolving effect, they have to start it almost immediately because, like, you're gone if you take, like, 5 steps in.
No, it's almost like watching Darth Vader become a Force ghost.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's that.
Well, we did it, honey. We killed our idol.
Oh, wait.
Bye.
What?
Chicken butt.
What are you grinning at?
What are you grinning at, you ghost?
If you build it, he will come.
And there he is.
But who is he?
Yogi Berra. Oh, no, wait, it's his dad.
Oh, my God.
What?
And now it all makes sense.
And that music just kind of got a little bit like Smallville music for a second.
Ease his pain.
Go the distance.
It was you.
No, Ray. It was you.
Yeah, I feel like Shoeless Joe Jackson wouldn't have been an appropriate title for the, I mean, I know it was the title of the book, but it really isn't about him at all.
No. And apparently, I don't know if this is still the case, Ray Liotta has never seen this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he one of those actors that just doesn't like seeing his own performance? Or?
I believe his mother was going through some really tough medical times, I think.
So just doesn't have great memories so it's associated
to that. And then this guy, Dwyer Brown, his dad had just passed.
Yeah.
Like days or whatever before
I remember that.
He filmed his scenes. So he was able to pull from real life for his performance.
Yeah.
Hi.
Just wanted to thank you folks for putting up this field. Letting us play here. I'm John Kinsella. I'm Ray.
Also Ray Kinsella.
This is my daughter, Karen. Karen, this is my...
baseball ghost.
This is John.
This is my friend, John.
Hi, John.
Stupid.
Hi, Hi, John. I feel stupid.
Well... we're going to let you two talk. I mean, if all these people are going to come, we got a lot of work to do.
I got to make Rice Krispie treats.
Very nice.
500,000 of them.
Come on.
When they were shooting this, apparently some of the other local farmers in town were very annoyed with the production because they brought in all this water to water the crops for just this one cornfield. And everybody was like, oh, come on, you're using our town for all these Hollywood shots, but you can't water our corn too.
Right.
It's like, well, what do you expect? But then other members of the community just loved the production of the movie because it brought a lot of...
and it still brings people to the town.
It brought a lot for the economy then and still does. Now here's the long, continuous golden hour shot. So for those... you know, again, these days you could use After Effects and lighting and color grading to make it look like it's a beauty shot. But they actually had to shoot between like a 15, 20 minute period over and over many, many nights in a row.
I could have sworn it was Iowa.
Dyersville Heaven.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah.
It's the place dreams come true.
On a field? Wait, I thought they were preparing things. They're just fucking around on a porch swing.
Maybe this is heaven.
Maybe it was Utah.
Good night, Ray.
If you look at their hairstyles, you can really see the 90s starting to come in.
Catch.
Such a simple line, but super effective. Mm-hmm. I love the way he delivers it, too. Yeah. It's actually like, I'm not, this is completely a compliment to him. That's some of his best acting is just in that line.
Yeah. See, they always, he says, have a catch. I've never said that. No. I would have said, you want to play catch. Want to
play catch. I think it's one of those things that, it sounds so old-timey because mm-hmm. it's carried over from, like, you know, going to have a nap, you know, going to have a shower, as they say.
And he's using an old-timey catcher's mitt there.
Yeah.
Which they were... I have an old one from the 50s, and that's even, you know, older style than that.
Now, this last shot here, for this final beauty shot, they had something like... Like, as many people as they could from the area, as many townspeople, just lined up on this road mm-hmm. for 6 miles.
They blacked out Dyersville.
Yeah, they blacked out Dyersville, and they turned on a local radio station to get direction from the cinematographer and director. Mm-hmm. And when they were backed up in traffic and they wanted the headlights to look like they were moving, the director, where they only had a few minutes left to get the shot, got the idea, just switch from your fog lights to your headlights back and
look
forth to give the illusion of movement, and it works excellently. Yeah,
because that's a long line of cars there.
So all those cars are back there are just parked, just flashing their lights back and forth to make it look like they're moving.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the magic of movie making. Yeah. And this really is a magical movie.
For sure. And that is Field of Dreams, based on a true story.
I'm going to say it holds up like hell.
No, for sure.
For a lot of reasons, this movie really stands the test of time.
Yeah, I have no problem watching this movie. And, you know, it was the first one I thought of when I wanted to do a baseball movie for opening day. And, yeah, it's, again, if I had to do a list of my top 10 movies of all time, this is in it.
Yeah, I'd say this is... And I was never quite the sports fan that you are. So maybe just I'm looking at it from a movie making perspective. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the best sports movies because it's not really about an actual event.
Right.
It's just a good movie. You don't have to give a shit about sports to go. That was a really damn good movie.
For sure. And while our credits are rolling, we're going to let you listen to a closing credits song. And this is from a band called Coke. And the song is called Ray Liotta, here on Drunk at the Movies. We'll be right back. All right.
And that's Coca-Cola, of course.
It's Coke.
Yes, we are a family-friendly podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not really.
Michael Caine. So thank you to Coke and Diarrhea Planet for letting us feature them on this episode of Drunk at the Movies. Well,
thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And watching with us.
And next week, we are back with our new theme of the month, which is guilty pleasures.
Hopefully, you will find these movies as pleasurable as we do, and you will feel as guilty as we do watching them.
Yeah. The first one we're going to watch, The Pride of Peoria, Richard Pryor stars as Jackie Gleason's son's plaything in
yet another Richard Donner film,
The Toy. Watch as a rich white man buys a poor black man to play with his kid.
I watched this movie many, many times as a child.
As did I.
I will see how it holds up, but I don't feel guilty saying I can't wait to watch this again.
Yeah, this should be a fun one. So you have a week to brush up on that movie, and we will be back here to talk through it as we do every week here on Drunk at the Movies. So, until then, this is Dustin.
This is Seth.
Saying, you don't have to be drunk to enjoy Field of Dreams, but it doesn't hurt. We'll see you next time. If you drink it, you'll get drunk.